Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Also, with the temps looking to hit the low to mid 90s within the next week, maybe you want to get your AC looked at before it gets really hot instead of waiting until it gets hot.
Mm.
So give them a call today. Get them out to your house.
So that alligator story captured your attention, captured Drab's attention.
Yeah.
This story this morning captures my attention.
All right.
Australian model Dominique Elisa reveals her near-death experience as backyard sauna explodes.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm getting a sauna delivered in, like, next month.
Oh,
next month, it's going in the backyard.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one's hitting home.
I don't know. I have no idea who she is. Aussie model, 30-year-old influencer, hot chick, obviously.
Yeah.
She says she does the bit where she goes out, she turns it on. So it's not like at the club or, mm-hmm. you know, or a fitness place you go to where they have the saunas on all the time, right?
Yeah.
If you have a home sauna, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to keep it on 24 hours a day. You turn it on maybe an hour before you go in it or whatever. You got to plan yourself a little bit, let it heat up. You go in after dinner, whatever you're going to do, whatever. And she did that. She turned on the sauna.
Okay.
Then she went in to cook dinner, planned to use it afterwards, just like she did the night before. And then she says she was finishing her dinner, and she said she was about to put her swimmers on. So that means her bathing suit,
all right,
I guess.
Yeah.
And she heard a boom, and she looks up. The entire sauna exploded.
I mean, she would have exploded into a million pieces if she was in there.
So no injuries.
Flying 35 feet into the air.
No injuries to her.
No, she was in her house.
Yeah, she was in her house, right.
Oh, my God. Look at that, the debris.
Her phone wasn't working. She had to call emergency services somehow. And then basically you get down to it.
Oh, my God.
And they say, this is a thing that can happen. I mean, it's very rare. But they say malfunctions in the heater or thermostat can lead to electrical fires. Well, that makes sense, right? They always say you got to be careful with your towels. You don't want to leave a t-shirt
All
or
right,
something.
That makes sense.
Or a sock.
That's common sense.
That
could
cause
think.
A fire, and the guy only knows what's going to happen.
Wear a sock into a sauna.
Well, you're a crazy person. But maybe you go in there because you don't want to get
that?
Germs, and you take your sock. Who knows?
All right.
Okay. So you always know that, like, you're really a dumb person if you leave a towel. Or something like that, or
yeah,
a t-shirt or something near
amateur hour.
Near a heater, that makes sense. But here's what scared me. While uncommon, let's focus on uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
Some saunas use hot rocks that have internal cracks.
Ooh.
And if water becomes trapped within those cracks, it can heat up and cause the rocks to explode.
No.
Boom! Now my brain
water.
So now you're thinking that's a possibility.
Well, it's uncommon.
I know.
But apparently that's the... Now...
It's something you'll be thinking about.
How many times I pour water over the rocks
yeah.
at the club sauna?
Probably yeah. every time.
Probably like 5 times over 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get it all steamy and even hotter and hotter.
Is your home sauna going to have rocks or no?
I requested rocks. I don't want that infrared stuff. I want the real Billy.
You want the real McCoy.
I want the real McCoy.
Mm.
I'm going to make sure we have to check the rocks.
Who knew saunas were so potentially dangerous?
I had no idea, Case.
I had no clue.
Never heard of an exploding sauna.
Never heard of that ever once.
Just adding to something else to my fear list.
But, I mean, just Google chances of dying in a sauna explosion. You're probably much more likely to die just staying in the sauna too long and, like, getting dehydrated and not realizing it.
Right.
And you just donk yourself off.
That is... freaking terrifying. I'm going to have to go in there with, like, my son's lacrosse helmet.
Yeah. Sure, that won't be hot.
In case a rock explodes
yeah.
in my face.
Looks like your face took on buckshot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Actually terrifying.
Well, if the entire sauna explodes, you don't have to worry about wearing a helmet.
Yeah, because it's just going to
be in 100 pieces.
Blown to smithereens.
You'll be part of the debris
oh
that's strewn
God.
All over the backyard.
I kind of imagine she didn't have some cheap one either. She probably had a nice one. If she's some silly, you know, Australian
she probably had top
hot
of the
model.
Line.
Yeah.
She probably had the Australian version of Offenbachers, whatever that is.
Exactly.
Offenbachers down under.
Yeah.
We're going to sell you a non-exploding sauna.
Aussiebachers.
Aussie right. Aussiebachers.
Well done, Valdez.
Good job, Valdez.
You just took it and ran with it.
Anyway,
I like it.
You were scared about the alligator. Now I'm scared about my sauna. But I'll get over it.
I guess you should be.
I'll get over it.
You got a better chance of getting eaten by an alligator in Fairfax.
Than my sauna exploding from sauna internal exploding. From the rocks.
Most likely.
Yeah. Having an internal crack.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine.
I'm going to inspect the rocks. Although, I don't know how you could tell if it has an internal crack.
Have that thing checked out.
I'm going to give my rocks an MRI.
Well, so, speaking of being scared of things, are you scared that the commanders and the D.C. Council aren't going to come to a speedy conclusion to get the vote passed to get the ball rolling on the stadium?
Between you and me.
Because apparently that's a thing.
I couldn't care less. That's their problem.
Well, D.C. Council members are working toward approving a football stadium for the Commanders at the shuttered RFK Stadium site. Oh, and it is shuttered, let me tell you. I saw it over the weekend.
Right.
So many gates around it, you can't get anywhere near the actual stadium. But probably not by Mayor Bowser's July deadline, several lawmakers said this week. The prospect of the council delaying a vote on the $3.7 billion deal has the team, quote, outraged, Bowser said this week, and, quote, sacrifices our exclusive seat at the table and $2.7 billion in private investment. We have some audio from our friend Kevin Sheehan from Team 980 talking about the deal.
You got a big client. They're hanging on a proposal. They've asked you to go back and rework the proposal a little bit. But they're on a timeline. They got to pick somebody to handle it for them. And you're in there sun up to sundown, weekends, weekdays, doesn't matter until you figure it out. Not every walk of life appears to operate under that premise, under those rules. Like, hey, we're here to get it done and get it done quickly. Vacations be damned. Floating holidays be damned. 2-hour lunch breaks be damned. And I'll tell you what, guys like Josh Harris and Mark Guine and Mitch Rales, they're probably back there going, you've got to be kidding me. We're coming up on 2 months and they don't have what they need to make a decision and vote? We would have had this thing done in a weekend. Yeah, it's frustrating. I can only imagine.
What can he say? It's politics. This is kind of stuff standard, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is standard.
It seems like it.
They're not like, you know, unfortunately, all of this stuff, that, you know, in the political world is, it gets slow walked all the time.
It does. That's why I hate politics.
Yeah.
But when there's so much money involved and power, decision making, you can kind of understand why they are taking as long as they are. But it's such a big decision. And it seems like it's a really good decision financially for the city,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the district. It seems like everyone should be on board. But again, that there's some people there that, you know, that they want all the right answers and they're looking out for their constituents, you know, especially in that area
right.
where RFK
they
is going to be taken down.
They're also
taken
looking out for their special interests.
And it's always special interests with politics.
Yeah.
But it's such a big decision and it seems like it's the right decision. Why not just get it done?
I know nothing about D.C. politics, but here's what I do know. There's nobody else that's bringing a sack filled with $2.7 billion to redevelop that area. And I understand that it's $1 billion is coming out of the taxpayers that live around there. It's a big chunk of money.
Yeah.
But that whole area is a blight on D.C. right now. I was just there. Like, that stadium it's just crumbling. Like, something needs to be done with that area. And Josh Harris and his group, they're coming with $2.7 billion of money. Like,
right, but the other side of that cake is all our governments everywhere, federal, local, they're all busto. They all overspend.
I understand.
And there's no money. There's no money. So while this may generate money, you got to find the money to get it started.
I understand all
Rearrange
that.
Rearrange stuff. But cut stuff.
So,
it's a freaking nightmare.
You're just going to drag your feet and let RFK sit in ruins for another 10 or 20 years?
They got to figure out a way to doctor
because if
the
they drag their
probably.
Feet and they don't get this done, you think Josh Harris is just going to sit around and wait for a couple of years? He's going to go to Maryland and Virginia and try to craft a deal. He's not going to sit around and wait for months or years for this to happen.
One of the members on the council said that he wouldn't mind delaying it until September of this year. So the deadline is in July, but he's willing to delay it all the way to September.
Right.
And if you do that, you know, cost of goods could go up. Who knows?
Also, Harris wants to be in the stadium for the 2030 season. Like, that's already been put out there.
Yeah.
It jeopardizes that.
You're losing close to a year on breaking ground.
Right.
No, I could see them just saying, we tried our absolute best, but then, you know, these incompetent people couldn't figure it out.
Right.
And so we're going to move on to the next municipality, whatever it is, which I guess would be Maryland.
You would think.
Yeah. I could see that. Because they don't have time for all this shenanigans. But I can also, in their defense, see them struggling to try to figure out where we're going to scrape up the money because we blow it on so many other things.
I forget who said this, but someone, it may have been Kevin, said the demolition for RFK has already been approved.
Right.
They've already started tinkering with it like months ago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And actually years ago they started taking the wooden seats out.
Yeah.
He said, go ahead and start that process. Tear the stadium down. It's already planned. What are you waiting for?
Right.
As you wait for the city council to get their act together, and at least get this old stadium out of the way so you're not just starting that, then finally when this thing does get approved, so you're behind this time.
I totally agree with that.
I don't understand why they're waiting. I mean, who cares if they even get this deal? Get that eyesore out of there anyway. Get
right.
it down.
Right. It's coming down at some point. Like, be proactive about removing that thing from
that thing should have been torn down 10 years ago.
Easily.
You know, you don't even need a new property there. That thing's a freaking embarrassment at this point. I'm always amazed by structures, homes, whatever, when they're abandoned, how quickly stadiums, they fall apart. Like, if you don't maintain things, they just fall apart. It's amazing.
And I mean, how long has that stadium been abandoned at this point?
Seems like a long time.
At least a decade, maybe 15 years.
It's just an eyesore.
I mean, what is happening here?
Wasn't it embarrassing at the Warped Tour the other day when Machine Gun Kelly's on stage and that's what he thinks of D.C.? He sees his rotten stadium.
Just see it looming in the background.
That's
so embarrassing.
Yeah, embarrassment.
It's gross. But look, to host an event of that size, there's one place you can do it in D.C. at RFK, at the festival grounds around the stadium. Because it's nothing but it's big, giant parking lots. And grass growing everywhere, and weeds, and an
you couldn't
and
do it
an ugly
on the mall,
ass stadium.
In the mall area, you couldn't do it?
I don't think DC wants Vans Warped Tour on the mall.
No, it's bad news.
Yeah, I mean, if you want the mall all banged up and destroyed, sure, it there.
Gotcha.
Because you can have it at RFK Festival Grounds, because nobody cares about the property right now. You can do whatever you want there. It's a free-for-all.
To believe there's not a better area. What about the Poplar Park or whatever it's called over here by the bridge?
I don't know anything about it.
I mean, it is a complete eyesore, embarrassing.
That is.
They have the Warped Tour, which I saw all these articles about saying the Warped Tour is back. MGK puts on great show, Avril Lavigne, and it's sitting there underneath the mold of RFK.
Now, luckily, when they were playing, it was dark. So it was nighttime, so you couldn't see it. But during the day, you're just walking around like, oh, that stadium's gross.
Is there any reason why? Could you put it, I know you're close with the Bowser's PR person. Can you text her? Just to text her. And just say, why haven't they just torn down, forget, who cares what happens with the stadium? Why haven't they just started finished tearing it down? I'd be curious to know.
I'll ask. Well, they were trying to get the mayor on today, but she has a busy schedule. So
just ask her. Just say, the guys just want to know. What if nothing else? Could you just finish?
Is that just a cost thing?
Tear the damn thing down.
Maybe it's a cost thing, but also wouldn't that put some pressure on the? Wouldn't they put pressure on the council members? Because all of a sudden now you have it all torn down,
right?
All ready to go, and then you have this blank canvas.
Yep.
And then people can say, hey, everyone's ready to go. Why are you stalling?
So maybe they're the ones that are stalling it?
Yeah. It's almost like you're forcing their hand because it's already turned down. We're all ready to go. We're just waiting on you.
Yeah, if the stadium's still standing, they can be like, well, the stadium's here. We can't really do anything right now.
Apparently the lawmakers that are still haven't approved it are still, they're waiting for Bowser's team to put forward how they're going to generate all this money that they say they're going to generate.
Right,
which is the issue with every project ever.
But
I don't know why
they are waiting. You can't predict the future. you can just say, all right, this is probably what we're going to generate based on what other cities have done,
sure,
and right, what we've done in this city, the money we've made.
Right.
They can't just say, all right, here, to every cent, this is what we're going to make. You can't.
I would also counter with, you know,
but you're going to make money.
I'd say, you know what you're making from that stadium right now? Zero. You're making nothing. You're in the negative because people see that eyesore and are like, what are you doing? Like, how ineffective
Yeah,
is this
be
government
pay for it.
You're going to put bars and restaurants and hotels around there. Isn't the Women's World Cup coming here?
Supposedly.
I thought it was coming here in like 2031.
I mean, maybe if there's a stadium.
If there's a stadium,
then,
they'll play
if
here.
If I was working on Mayor Bowser's staff, I would just take the Nationals Park report, cross that out, and write Commander's Park.
I like that.
And submit it to them and say, here are my
multiply
projections.
Multiply it by like three or four because it's the NFL and not, you know, Major League
Baseball.
This is
Navy Yard before Nats Park.
Yeah.
This is Navy Yard now. It's going to be that.
Right.
Cross out Nats Park, put Commander.
Except that the expenses and the numbers that they're talking are kind of like historic. They're massive numbers.
So they're saying, how do you come up with these numbers?
They're massive numbers. And, you know.
Okay, even if they don't get to that particular number, if they don't get to the $5.1 billion, I think that's the one that they projected. All right. What if you get to $4.5 billion? That's a lot more money that you're going to make than that RFK just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you might be better off if they're just sitting there than hemorrhaging a couple billion dollars and adding to all the debt.
The tax.
I might actually be on team the D.C. Council. Because until you prove how we're going to make the money and get it back, we can't just keep getting into debt on everything.
But they can't. They can't tell you to the dollar, this is what we're going to make.
They can't guarantee it,
but they can give you
a plan.
You know you're going to make something if you're going to have a whole new facility there with all of those
revenue, but it might not be enough to cover the nut.
Over time, they'll cover it. Maybe they won't cover it in the time period that they're projecting, but over time, you know they'll cover it.
If you want to weigh in on the latest with the RFK redevelopment site, 800-636-1067 is the number. The council could be delaying the vote. It's scheduled for mid-July at this point. 800-636-1067. We can take your calls next here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We have some audio here. This is Mark Seagraves, I believe from NBC4, talking with J.P. Finley. Some more details.
He's the guy that busted into that meeting, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So this was expected, right? Chairman Mendelson had been saying to him from day one, the July 15th deadline is unreasonable. And he has a legitimate case there. I have to say that the mayor presented her budget months later than they typically do. And not only did she put her budget in late, but then the budget also includes this $1 billion of tax money going to a $3 or $4 billion project, the biggest project in the history of the city. And typically on something like that, you would want standalone public hearings, and you would want to have enough time to go through this. And so the chairman has a legitimate gripe about that. That said, every one of us at our jobs have some type of deadlines on something, and oftentimes those deadlines are inconvenient and are expedited, and you get it done. And that's what the mayor is and the commanders are asking of the 12 members of the D.C. Council. It's like, we know it's a short timeline, but it is what it is. This is where we are. We need you to get it done. I think at the end of the day, look, this thing was really moving forward at a really fast clip. And it was surprising to all of us that so many council members so quickly were coming out in favor of it, including Chairman Mendelson, who had been against it from day one for years, had said, no, 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 no. And now he's saying, yes, but I just want to make it better. So Mendelson is just looking for a victory, right? He's just looking for something. And if you go back to the baseball stadium, which I often compare this to, this is exactly what happened with the baseball stadium. The Mayor Williams and Major League Baseball made a deal. It went up for a vote. The vote went until midnight. I was in that room at midnight when Linda Kropp, who was the chairman at the time, changed her vote at the last minute and stalled the deal. And then they went back to the drawing table, and Linda Kropp was able to come out a week later and say, hey, I've made it a better deal. And they all voted and approved it, and now we have that. We've had that stadium for years, right? And so this was expected and anticipated. The problem is, how long of a delay are they talking about, and can the Commanders stomach a delay that might be 3 or 4 months? I think that's a lot to ask of the Commanders, given how adamant Josh Harris has been about his timeline. So we know that Chairman Mendelson and the Commanders met late last week. We don't know what came of that meeting. But again, we'll learn a lot more. If I were handicapping this, I'd say it's still going to get done. I would not lose hope. I would say this is expected, this kind of thing. It's a bump in the road, but it is not insurmountable. And I don't think it's a deal killer by any stretch.
All right. It's a clash of Harris is a hedge fund multi-billionaire, and he has a bunch of, you know, successful business people as minority owners. So they're used to getting business done at a quick pace, and now they're up against
bureaucracy,
slowdowns,
yep,
delays, and it has to have him on massive, massive tilt.
Yeah, right.
That this is just getting held up.
In that sense,
it's getting held up by politics.
Right.
In that sense, also getting back to what Kevin was saying in that first clip that we played, and it is maddening when congressmen, I'm not saying it for sure that's what's happening here, but when they go on vacation or they go home for weekends at a time,
yeah,
and they just let stuff that's urgent, mm-hmm, just sit there.
Because it's not that
urgent. Maddening.
It's not that urgent to them. That's the whole thing. Like, it's urgent to Josh Harris, right, and the Commanders,
yeah,
and
they want to get it done,
and the ownership group. But to the politicians and the council, it's not really urgent.
Yeah. This is the pace at which they operate. It's right. A different pace,
which is maddening.
Which Harris operates.
Right.
Yeah. It's, all right. Let's bang out some of these calls. If you want to chime in on the situation, I guess if you're dead set on this, and this is like you're all in and gotta have it. Seagrave says, you know, and he's all over the story that he thinks it's still going to get done. This is just a bump in the road, but this is part of the process. This is what happened before when they built Nats Park. So I guess you don't have to lose faith, but you never know. There are chinks in the armor. Is that what they say, Kay?
That is correct.
And
yes.
Something could happen. Let's go to Dante in D.C. Dante, what's up?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Hey, doing great.
Good morning to you.
What's up?
Yeah, you too, man.
So I'm just going to see how I see it and explain what I see.
Yeah.
I don't even think this is really possible for where things are in current climate or any climate moving forward. First of all, when that stadium was built, the maximum capacity of Washington, D.C. itself was imagined to be about 250,000 people. We rotate well over 750,000 to 800,000 people in the city on the regular. To be able to get this thing done, when y'all talking about putting bars and restaurants and hotels around it, where are you going to expand the road to? What is it going to shut down Bennett Road and shut down everything for Pennsylvania Avenue for 3 or 4 years? I mean, it's not enough space there. Not unless you plan on moving the stadium armory, which that's not happening. Hello, the military. Mm-hmm. So I just realistically think that what should have been done and talked about instead of trying to go back to the nostalgia of the 80s was just to build a stadium on the other side. You know what I'm saying? Some place where you have open land to compete with.
So you're saying you don't even think from a logistical standpoint they could get this done?
Man, when was the last time you drove past Bennett Road or Pennsylvania Avenue at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 in the morning?
Never.
Just bump it a bump.
I drive past it at 5:10 in the morning, and it's already starting to stack up traffic.
So think about that. That's a main artery for bringing in everything into the district.
Yeah.
Food, material. You know what I'm saying? Transportation hub. Let alone think about the fact that the train lines sit there. I ain't talking about the metro. I'm talking about the railroads.
Yeah.
That's how we get all kinds of oil and rare things that we or cars and all kinds of transportation goods and services that come in on the train line. You got to remove stuff to build that stadium.
Yeah, but Dante, with all due respect, that's not even the issue. They're not even thinking about that right now. That's not even the issue.
I don't think so. I think they are thinking about that. I think that's why they're like, hey, we got to really weigh this before we try to make this move. Because that's just not a smart, if I can think of it,
And I'm not sitting on a council. Maybe I need to be on a council. Maybe that's it, y'all.
You should run. You should run, buddy.
Thank you, Dante.
Thanks,
Thank
Dante.
You. I appreciate it.
Call.
I don't know what kind of space is down there. I'm sure they've looked at it a billion times. There's 100% they're going to put bars and restaurants down there.
Yes, that's part
maybe,
of it.
Right, maybe not big lavish hotels. Maybe Dante's right about that. They're going to put bars and restaurants down there.
I was confused.
That's how they're going to make money.
I was confused at what Dante was saying. Was Dante saying the infrastructure can't support people?
Basically.
Can't support the building of it?
The building of it. Like, or, how are they even going to manage
or
that?
Or won't support the foot traffic of it?
I think he's saying the building of it. Like, how can they even build it? That's what it sounded like to me.
Well, look, they've already talked,
I don't even think they're
they've
worried
already talked
about, right
about having to expand the roads. I mean, they've thought about all this stuff. And it's not going to happen overnight. Of course, it's going to take a while.
Well, then how's that going to happen by 2030 if they got to start doing...
I don't know.
On the main arteries.
Maybe it doesn't happen by 2030, but that's the timeline. They've got to expand the roads.
I mean, road construction.
You see how
takes
long they've been working on that Tyson's project?
Of course. Look at the
Beltway. Unbelievable.
The Beltway over
it's
there. It's like a 10-year project, but they're going to have to do something.
How long did it?
Yeah. It took them forever to finish 66.
Yeah.
I remember that. Like,
well, how long? They actually, I think they actually
I don't
got
even
that,
know if that's completed yet.
That Tyson's train station, they got that up fairly quickly, don't you think, or no? Still, it's probably several years.
Like the Silver Line?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's like you don't even remember what it was like before.
It took a while to get to Metro all the way out to Ashburn.
Yeah. They're still messing with one in Bethesda area.
Are they?
In Kensington. I mean, it's a nightmare.
I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know anything about the infrastructure, but they've all these people, these hundreds of people that are making the decisions,
all
they've
the
talked
people.
About it all. All the people they've talked about.
Where was I? My wife and I, we were coming back from Carolina, and somewhere I think it was on that 95 corridor, and they've built new highways that are so high up.
Okay.
Like, you know how they have these overpasses and everything?
Yeah.
There are new overpasses. They seemed like they were 75 feet in the, like, I've never seen anything so high. It's like, this looks new. We're, you know, near the Springfield interchangers, somewhere in that vicinity, somewhere. Yeah. I don't know. And my wife said, "Yeah, that is new. I mean, that's tall."
Well, have you seen that new overpass they're building off of 66? Right as you get to the Beltway, so if you're going 66 slash toll road, going west,
right.
There's a huge overpass they're putting
super tall.
They're putting that's going to round into the Beltway going into Maryland.
Yeah,
have you seen that? It's unbelievable.
Maybe that's part of what I'm referring to. I'm not sure.
You don't go that way very often, but Drab knows. I mean, Drabby probably takes that a lot.
No, I'm just saying, when I was going to Carolina, that's where I saw stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I saw it when I was driving. I don't know.
But, I mean, who knows how long that the Beltway is going to take from Virginia to Maryland. I mean, that's taking forever.
Yeah. Yeah, Drabby, answer these so I can bang them out. I want to bang out these calls.
Bang it out.
But honestly, it doesn't seem like this is not an infrastructure issue. Now, Dante's saying, well, that's what he thinks is ultimately slowing it down. This is just like, how are we going to pay for it issue?
Correct. That's exactly.
I mean, the infrastructure is secondary.
But how we're going to pay for it also includes, all right, how are we going to pay for expanding the road?
Of course, right.
Putting new lines in
or
expanding the
metro. You've
got to
have some engineers. They've obviously consulted and put out plans.
They've talked about
it. They have rough ideas.
Correct.
But again, every project you've ever known has always gone, like, Harris probably knows he's pushing a deadline because he knows it's going to get pushed eventually. And, like, nobody ever makes anything on time, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Let's go.
I mean, all of these projects we just talked about, there was a timeline on it, and they always take forever. They take 2, 3, 10 years past what they project.
All right, let's go to Ron. Ron, what's up?
Hey, guys. I don't know who that guy was talking about, you know, trains and all that stuff. But does he understand they have civil engineers and architects and people that's what they do for a living? So I don't know what these people come on and they make these claims that they're totally ignorant to. So,
so we were just alluding to. I'm sure that those things have been addressed on some level, sort of like a rough idea of how they're going to do it. Yeah.
I mean, they're not building the playground. Come on. I mean, this is a massive undertaking. So they'll have all of the experts and professionals that will take care of that. What the holdup is the distribution of money.
Right.
And that's always going to be a holdup.
Always.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
Ron.
For the call.
Right. That's what we're trying
maybe
to say.
Maybe Dante lives down there, so he looks at it and goes, how are they going to put this here?
Right.
There?
Right.
Where are they going to put a restaurant? Where
they
are they going to put a hotel?
People that have addressed that.
Yeah. But they probably, before you saw what happened here in the Navy Yard, and when Nats Park went in and all these hotels and restaurants, if you live down here, you probably thought, how are they going to put a stadium here? Where are they going to put a hotel?
Jason, he was also saying, how are you going to shut down Benning Road and still have traffic? You know, like, how are you going to handle that while you're building?
Oh, there's going to be more traffic because there's going to be construction.
Right.
You can't avoid that.
All right, coming up in about 20-ish minutes, Bob Ryan, sports columnist emeritus for the Boston Globe. He will join us coming up here on The Fan at 8.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Forgot to mention something that happened on the first day of Warped Tour that I went to over Father's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, I want to say, on Saturday. So part of Warped Tour, for people who don't know, is there's a bunch of bands that you just have never heard of that are playing, that are usually the bands that play early to mid portion of the day. Because you're not going to book 90 headliners, okay? You're going to book some up-and-coming bands you've never heard of, or bands you haven't been exposed to. So my daughter and I are watching this band at about 2:30. It's hot. It's about 80-some degrees, humid. It's a band called Let Live. I had never heard of them, okay? And toward the end of the set, the lead singer did something I'd never seen the lead singer do outside of, like, the Red Hot Chili Peppers kind of did this bit. He just strips down to his boxer briefs, and he's singing on stage in underwear and shoes. Okay, so I'm like, okay, that's kind of wild. Like, he's doing a wild bit.
Right.
It's hot.
Like a flea bit.
He's ripped. He's got tattoos. He's jacked. He's got tattoos. Okay, whatever. He's singing in his underwear. So then the guy proceeds to sprint off the stage, and then he runs down like there are money metal barriers between, like, VIP and the other part of the stage area where security can work and they can move freely.
Yeah.
He sprints through that portion of the audience and he goes to, like, this speaker tower that's at the back, like near the soundboard. This speaker tower is about 35 to 40 feet high. It's like a mini, like, scaffolding.
Yeah. Oh no.
I just retweeted this at Money Metal Cakes.
Yeah.
He starts climbing the speaker tower in his underwear.
Right.
Okay. He climbs all the way to the top of it.
Right.
Throws his leg over. And then he's just sitting on top of the speaker tower while the band's still playing on stage.
Yeah.
He's not even singing. He's just sitting there. I'm like, this guy's going to die.
Right.
This guy is literally going to fall off.
Are there enough people under there to cushion his fall.
I guess if
he did some bizarre rock star thing where he jumped off.
I mean, I never thought he was going to jump, but I was just scared that the dude was going to slip and fall.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much you're trying to cushion a guy's fall from that height. Like, if he falls on his head, you're not going to be able to.
Well, if you fall on your head, you're dead. But if you land on people, they can definitely cushion a blow, and you can hurt them. But you can cushion a blow.
I was like, what is this guy doing? This guy is clearly, clearly insane. And he stayed up there for like 10 minutes after the band was done playing. The band gets off the stage. They leave. They start setting up for the next band. And he's just hanging out there. The sun beating down on him, 85 degrees, no shirt on. Just chilling, just watching the crowd from above. I was like, that guy's insane. He's probably going to die someday doing a stunt like that. Yeah. It brought me back to when we were at the Starboard years and years ago.
Oh, right.
Up on that tower?
We climbed that rickety scaffolding at the Starboard. I was like, this isn't safe.
Right. Like, what are we thinking?
Has this thing been inspected? Monty's like, go on, climb up, guys. Make an announcement. Tell the crowd, welcome to Running to the Bull. The whole thing. It just brought me back.
That'll never happen
again. It brought me back to that when I saw that guy doing that.
Right.
Now, I'm assuming that speaker tower was more sturdy than what we were standing on, because we were basically standing on a scaffolding with some thin, like 2x4s and plywood, like platforms.
Yeah, how high up were we at that time?
I would,
20 feet?
I was probably 20 feet.
Yeah. 20 to 30
feet.
High enough
that I vaguely remember.
If we fell off.
Oh, yeah, we're dead.
For sure that wasn't we're going like to inspected ER. By the state or anything. No way.
No chance.
Yeah. That was dicey.
It was probably built by Monty's Barbacks.
Do they still, is the running of the bull still as big?
I don't know.
Do it as it was 20 years ago,
I think it's still a huge thing.
Like massive.
I think it's like people just spilling out of the starboard onto like the sidewalk.
And does the starboard still pack him in on like a Saturday morning, like all day?
I was there over the winter.
Yeah.
During commander season.
Right.
And that place is just printing dough. I mean, just tons of people.
I mean, since I've had the off season,
I would assume on the big weekends, it's still
like overflowing.
And middle of the summer on the weekends,
and people still do the bit where they haul ass down there, like maybe Friday or Thursday night.
I've heard a lot of people go down
Thursday night now. They just skip Friday.
They come back Monday morning, go right to work.
They do the Monday morning. They have eggs or breakfast, and then
they do like Suicide Sunday. Suicide Sunday.
That was the big.
Well, now
Suicide Sunday was massive.
Well, look, now with the amount of people that are working remote, especially on Mondays and Fridays,
yeah,
it's probably. They probably don't even show up.
Probably a poop show.
I mean, they're just doing, checking their phones.
Mob scene.
Checking their phones on their way in.
Right.
But yeah, that's probably, on the big weekends, it's probably packed.
Well, I think, stay tuned. We might have something in the works. Stay tuned.
Looks like this year's running is July 13th.
July 13th? And do they have pictures like from like last year? Or
they have videos of it from last year.
And it's just as crazy as ever.
It's a Dewey tradition, EB.
They still have the Elvis guy. I mean, honestly, I'd have to fall off the wagon to do that. I would drink 16 straight
17
hours.
Straight
there's
days.
No way you're going to go down. There's no way you're going to go to the running of the bull I'm going to have two beers today. No, that's it's impossible.
No, you can't. No, you just abuse your body.
You know what we should do? Here's the idea.
Yeah.
We should send Mike Marr to be boots on the ground.
Yeah, you want to be boots on the ground?
That's his type of event.
Oh, right?
Boots on the ground?
He's in the sweet spot age range for it, too. Like, he can go hard.
Your liver
all
hasn't taken the damage ours has taken.
Yeah, we ought to sign me up for that. You said mid-July?
Yeah.
Where is that?
You ever heard of Dewey Beach, buddy?
That's actually funny. I think I might already be going to Dewey, like, the middle of July.
Oh!
I was getting talked about. I got to confirm with that, but there was sometime in July.
Yeah,
it was getting floated around my friend group of me going to Dewey.
You know how you
stars
guys
are aligning.
You know how you guys got aged out of the running of the bull.
Yeah,
Drav and I hosted it in like 2021, 2020.
You did, really?
Yeah,
we were there.
Was it just as big as it was when we did it?
There's no aging out. Gary Williams was hammered.
No, I know.
Yeah. No, that is true. No, yeah. That's a very good point.
It's actually also an older crowd. It's not like, you know what I'm saying?
You know
it's
what?
There's a wide range.
Here's the problem. It's P-wording out. For me, like, I just can't hang.
You know what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's...
I can't do what I did. Ask Brett. Brett one time said he was in awe of my ability to drink.
I'm impressed by you, EB.
And bar hop.
Come down to Sup
like
Dogs.
18 straight hours.
That's
no
the,
break.
That's the drunkest I've been since college.
That's a young man's game.
Yeah.
That's why Mike Marr is perfect.
I mean, I puked all night. I started puking at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Puked for 12 hours.
Can't do that.
I think the last time I was at Dewey, I was dumb and I brought my young kids and I was so hammered, I just got completely naked and climbed into bed. I think it was like stripped down
in front of your
like
children,
in front of my kids. I'm probably scarred them for life. But again, that's what Dewey Beach does. That's what the starboard
big drunk
can do to
snoring
you.
Dad right. Naked sitting next
hey,
to him.
I was working. That was my excuse. I was working.
We were working.
We got paid pretty handsomely. To
I
do
bet
that.
You did.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we did. We made good money, but we had to.
At our age, partake. Now it's not worth it the way you feel because it's not like you feel bad the next day. You feel bad for about 3 days. It's not worth making yourself feel crappy for 3 days.
You just got to be a little more muted. Like when I went to the starboard recently. I went in the cooler with Monty. I had a small beer with him. We hung out. We talked about good old days.
Yeah, that's enough.
But I didn't have 20 beers.
No.
I wasn't.
You're not
throwing,
doing shots.
I wasn't
but you know how you don't feel
beers
bad.
At the wall.
You never stop. That's how you don't feel bad. You just pound beers for
you muscle
for
through
48
it.
Hours. And that's what we were doing.
I know, but I can't do that.
I don't think I can do that any longer.
Yeah, I couldn't do
you
it.
You might be able to. You might still have.
I'd go to the hospital.
I still have it in me, but I mean, I. I mean, iconic.
I know Mike Morrow's got it in him.
We're pounding beers with local mascots.
I mean, I'd love to carry the torch.
Well, you can.
You know what? We'll gladly hand that baton to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you guys got one more weekend left in you, man.
Oh,
summer 25, you got a little left in the tank.
Nah, it's over. It's over, Johnny. It's over.
I don't know, man. Don't write us off completely.
One last hurrah left in us.
I don't know.
One last.
I've never seen so many people excited to drink at 9 a.m.
It's amazing, and like on a Sunday, it's amazing. Yeah. I didn't know that was still just as popular
and they don't
as it
stop.
Ever been. I know.
They
dude.
Probably go to after dinner.
I think my only exception for drinking early now is drinking in an airport. And that's a carve out. Like
you still
it
do
depends.
That every time
like
you show up,
but like my wife and I are flying to San Diego like next week.
Uh-huh.
Our flight's like at 6:30. I'm not gonna be drinking at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, Bloody Mary.
I mean, I don't have that big of an alcohol problem.
No,
I don't even think the airport bars would be open.
They probably would.
I actually stopped drinking before flights about 10 years ago because on one of our trips, I had so much.
Uh-huh.
That I had to pay as we were taxiing.
That's right.
I had to pay the stewardess to let me go pee.
Yeah, you told that.
Because otherwise, I was just gonna.
I do remember that.
I was gonna.
You were gonna pee right
pants.
There in the seat.
Yeah, I mean, you know how when you've been drinking and like there's no stopping it, like it's coming. And we're literally taxiing, and then she had to call the pilot and say, "I basically have a drunkie here. He has to go pee. Is that okay?"
Yeah, right. Guy with the smallest bladder ever.
The only time I drink in the morning now is tailgates.
That's
it. For noon games.
Yeah. Well,
so if you're out there at 9:30.
Sure. Right,
I did about 100 Maris tailgates.
You've done that.
You're an old pro.
And it's not over with you. You got another one going to college.
Yeah, but the volleyball crew doesn't
They don't get after
like
it like the laxers.
And it's night.
Right,
it's
but
different.
if she goes to a school that's a bigger school with a football,
like football
team, you'll be going to football games.
It could be crazy. Yeah, it could be crazy.
All right, coming up next, Bob Ryan from the Boston Globe will join us here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.